How do you do? On the next program in the Unshackled series, you'll meet a woman born and raised in Sweden. Born a twin, she lived her life hungering for adventure. Don't miss this unusual story of how she and her husband came to America and, by God's grace, became twins of a different nature. All on the next Unshackled.
How do you do? We'd like to take you away from where you are to follow in the footsteps of a woman who loved adventure, who wasn't afraid to try something new, something even a little bit risky. Some might say she was headstrong, and she wasn't exactly sure what she was seeking. But she became heartstrong and began the greatest adventure of all when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
He was getting closer and closer to where I was hiding. My heart was pounding so loud I was sure he could hear it. Oh, there he stood, a huge silhouette in the doorway. I was trapped.
Oh, Ina!
Quiet in there!
Oh, I woke up there that time. We better be quiet before he comes in here.
Come on, finish the story.
Well, I was rescued. And the handsome young man, who was an outlaw until I helped him, came back because I left him a note. He'd got there just in time and subdued the madman.
That's a good detective story, Ina.
Oh, I'd love to be a detective someday.
Do you think that person like that young man can really change?
Oh, yes. I mean, wouldn't it be exciting to be the one who turns somebody's life around?
This is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. I can't is probably heard more than any other phrase in conversation with the homeless. Can't find work, can't find a place to stay, can't change things. Unless they come to Pacific Garden Mission. There, street people receive the welcome of a long-lost brother, a safe haven. A hearty meal, a shower, and a change of clothes. Even medical and dental care, and all without charge to those without means. Since 1877, mission counselors have shared the bread of life with the perishing in giving them new hope. Those who choose new life are able to say with confidence, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2466 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The woman in this story was born in Sweden. Maybe it was because she grew up in a loving, secure family that she hungered for adventure, or maybe it was just something missing in her life. We'll let her tell you how she found the answer as we bring you the true story of Ina Torell, right now on Unshackled.
I was the first of twin girls born in a small town in the southwest part of Sweden. My sister and I were quite different. She was dark-haired and I was blonde. We had an older sister as well, and during World War II, while my father was in the army, mother ran the farm and life was quiet, even idyllic for us. And when the war was over and Dad came home and my sister and I were old enough to start school, we did so. Even by then, my headstrong and adventurous spirit was obvious.
I just don't think Ina is big enough to start school this year. She's so tiny.
I agree with you, Valborg, but you saw how upset she was when we asked her to wait another year.
She can't make that long bicycle ride. 6 kilometers, Helge.
You know, Ina, if her sister can do it, she will insist on doing it, too.
But Daga is bigger.
Well, Ina thinks big.
Well, you don't have to tell me that. Remember how I found her petting the bull in the neighbor's field while you were away at war?
Yeah, I had forgotten. You did send me a letter about that.
Yeah, 4 years old. Completely unafraid.
Well, she always did have spunk.
Oh, she doesn't seem to have any fear at all. She could have been trampled.
Well, I don't think we have any choice. Let her start school and see how she does.
I hope it doesn't make problems later on.
At first, I did well at school. I even took on a much bigger boy who was hurting my sister. Then my parents sold the farm and we moved in with our grandparents in another village. My uncle lived there too, and he taught me levitation, which opened me up to dark powers, and my schoolwork suffered. During that time, my grandparents died, so Dad returned to the area where we lived. He bought a big house in the town near the village that we had just left, and he opened a shoe and clog shop. He gave one floor of the house to my uncle, who was married by then.
Aina, what do you think of Aunt Elvira?
Oh, I like her. She gave me candy yesterday, and she really seems to care about us.
She wants us to go to church with her on Sunday. Are you going?
Oh, I think so. Mama says it's okay to go.
Uncle Einar is different since he married her.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't believe in levitation anymore or reading horoscopes. I tried to show him how I learned to read palms, and he refused.
I don't see what's wrong with Dad.
But I don't either. But he said we're not supposed to use divination.
What does that mean?
Predicting the future, he said. And only God is supposed to know that.
My twin sister and I went to church with my aunt periodically and began to believe in God as children will. But I was easily frightened by those in authority, including teachers and preachers, and a guest preacher who thundered from the pulpit scared me away. Pride kept me from going back. In my teens, I developed a passion for dancing. And so my girlfriend and I traveled by taxi to different parks where we danced to the orchestras. And one night we hitchhiked to a park in another town. On the way, a man sitting in back with us began to touch me. I told the driver to stop or I'd jump out of the car, and so he let us out in the middle of a forest. We never hitchhiked after that, but my obsession with dancing continued. I finished school and took a job as a nanny close to my hometown for several years. Then I trained and worked as a nurse's assistant for a while. Every other week, I took a bus to visit my parents.
You seem kind of sad or down, Ina. What's wrong?
I quit my job, Dad.
Why?
It was depressing. I mean, there were some things going on that just weren't right.
It isn't like you to do nothing about it.
Well, I tried. I spoke to my supervisor, but nothing was done. So I quit.
Yeah, there are plenty of other jobs. Check the newspapers.
Well, maybe I will. I could use a change.
Hey, look. There's a position in Trollhättan. I'll drive you there.
Oh, that's a big city. Oh, what fun it would be to live there, Dad.
Dad drove me to the interview, and I was hired on the spot. My apartment was free as well as all meals, so I could afford to go to fancy restaurants and buy the best clothing and dance to excellent orchestras. I dated some, but not much. Once a month, I took the train home to visit my parents, and one day I was on the train when two men asked if they could sit in my compartment. They introduced themselves, and I noticed that the one named John was very handsome.
Where are you going, Ina?
I'm Trollhättan.
So am I. I'm an engineering student there.
Oh, I don't envy you being in school. I didn't like it very much.
I struggle with some of my classes, but it's an investment in the future. Do you work, Ina?
Well, I'm a nurse's assistant. I have a wonderful job with many benefits, even a free apartment.
What do you do in your leisure time?
Well, in the summer, I love to go dancing, and in the winter, I go skiing.
Perhaps we can have dinner together sometime and then go dancing? Aina, when that train broke down the day we met, it was almost providential. At least it gave me a chance to get to know you better, taking the bus together and all.
Well, I've ridden many trains in my life. It never had a locomotive break down like that.
Do you think there's some kind of preordained purpose to our lives? Like maybe we were meant to be together?
Or maybe the stars were lined up just right? Huh? Mm. I've always been interested in things like that. If you could know the future, you'd live your life in a different way, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I made a lot of mistakes when I was younger. Once I almost died from drinking too much alcohol.
Oh, at least you learned your lesson. Some people never do.
I was a gang leader then. Oh. We got in a bad fight once and I almost killed a man. I was glad he survived.
Oh, my goodness. I've read about things like that, but never knew anyone who lived dangerously.
There's nothing glamorous about it, Ina. My life was going nowhere, so I decided to go to school and get an engineering degree.
Oh, are you very honest, John, telling me these things?
I love you, Ina. I don't want to hide anything from you. Are you still willing to marry me?
You know the answer to that. I love you very much.
Would you be willing to live in the United States for a while?
The United States? Oh, what an adventure that would be.
I've dreamed of going there since I was a boy and saw a parade of American GIs. I even studied English, so I'm ready.
Do you really intend to go?
Yes, but only for a couple of years.
John and I were married in a beautiful ceremony a year after we met, and I continued to work until he graduated. I thought his interest in going to America was a passing fad, but he still wanted to go. I didn't expect my family to react the way they did.
America?
Oh, no.
Why would you ever want to go there?
Don't even speak English.
I learn, Mama.
Well, how will you survive? Where will you live?
I have relatives in Salt Lake City. They'll help me get a job.
Don't go, Ina, please.
Oh, we've pretty much made up our minds.
Well, I don't think you realize the difficulties you face. Please, reconsider.
In a moment, Ina will tell us how they faced those challenges. We hear from listeners of all ages, but we're very surprised to get this letter recently. Our 5-year-old daughter, Christine, has been listening to Unshackled since she was 2. The first time she heard your program, she stopped what she was doing, ran to the kitchen, climbed on the stool, and listened. And she would not move until the program went off. Every day she would say, "When is Unshackled coming on?" Well, she asked a lot of questions about these stories, and my husband could help her with her questions. But when he wasn't around, I couldn't help her because I'm hearing impaired and didn't know what they were saying. Around the age of 4, she started to become my interpreter, telling me what happened and what they said. Now at age 5, she wanted to write her own story. I explained that Unshackled told true stories, not make-believe, but she insisted and wrote the following story. Well, we enjoyed the short story that Christine created and that her mother wrote down about a young man who was saved. Maybe when she grows up, she can write testimonies for Unshackled. If this program has affected your life in a meaningful way, please write and tell us. The address, Simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
Well, I think everything is packed now.
That's good.
Our last night in Sweden, John. Are you excited?
Actually, I've been thinking, Ina. Maybe we shouldn't go.
Well, you can't be serious.
It's a big step. A lot of unknowns.
Oh, but we've been through all that. I mean, besides, it's only for a couple of years.
I know, but
John, we already had a farewell party. All our friends and relatives gave us gifts and wished us well.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't say, well, we're not going, after all.
I'm not sure we're doing the right thing.
Oh, you don't know unless you try.
I've made so many mistakes in the past, Diane. I don't want to make another one.
It's not a mistake. It's an adventure. We've examined this move from every angle, John, and we're going to do the right thing.
The next day, our families bid us farewell at the airport, and we flew to Salt Lake City, where John's uncle and family met us. They separated us so that my husband went in one car and I in another, and that evening they had a party for us. At the end of the day, we were exhausted.
Oh, this has been the longest day of my life.
No wonder, counting the time change. Do you realize we've been up for more than 24 hours?
Well, what do you think, Ina?
Oh, I felt very depressed driving through the city on our way from the airport.
You miss Sweden already?
Oh, it's not that. I don't know what it is.
Well, we're committed now.
Well, it was very nice of your family to sponsor us and let us stay here with them.
Yeah, but I was disappointed in the job they got for me.
Well, surely they know that you have an engineering degree now.
Yeah, but my uncle worked in a cleaner's when he came to this country, and they think I should have the same experience.
Oh, that's absurd.
We'll go along with them, Ina. They're only trying to help us.
What a sad time that was for us. John came home totally exhausted, too tired even to talk to me. Since I spoke no English and understood very little, I was terribly lonely. I also suffered severe headaches every day. After a month or so of living with his relatives, we had a serious conflict.
What's happened, Ina?
Oh, religion again.
Oh.
They can't accept the fact that we don't want to join the church.
Maybe we should reconsider. It might help me get a better job. Most places are owned by many of the members.
I know, but I could never join that church, John. I don't feel comfortable when I'm there.
You feel very strongly about that, don't you?
Yes. We have to move out of here. I feel very uncomfortable now.
We don't have much money, Ina.
Oh, we'll manage. I saw an ad in the paper today for an apartment that's not very expensive.
Oh?
See, I mean, at least I can read English enough to know that much.
Okay. I can see your mind is made up, and I agree with you. We'll move.
We had to live in a slum area in a second-floor apartment with a very bad air conditioner. So in the summer, we suffered from the heat. We both had health problems because of a change in climate, but we persevered, determined to make the best of our time in America. John gave me a crash course in English so I could work for a large hotel. One day, he came home very excited.
Ina, I landed a great job today.
What do you mean you landed it?
Oh, that's another expression you should learn. My cousin took me to the highway department for a job interview, and I got it.
Doing what?
Design engineer. Much better salary.
Oh, John, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, finally you can use your education.
Yeah, they were very upset when they learned I was a bricklayer instead of an engineer.
Now, if I could just land a job in nursing.
Land a job, in a future tense. Keep taking English classes and you'll find a good job.
And I can't help feeling that someone is watching over us.
After I got a very good job as a sales lady in a big department store, we moved into a much better apartment. About that time, we began listening to Christian radio, studying our Swedish Bibles while John translated the sermons.
Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, everything in this world, everything, including the world itself, is temporary. The Bible says God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. So even if you could acquire everything in the world someday, it'd all be gone. But your soul is eternal. You will live forever somewhere. Where will your soul be 100 years from now? In heaven with God? Or cut off from Him in hell? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." The Bible says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account of what we've done in our lives. What will God see when He looks at you? If you've invited Christ into your heart and life, He will see Christ in you. No sin, no guilt. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and guilt. Nothing the world offers can do that for you. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And who whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Did you understand all that, Ina?
Yeah, most of it. I'm looking at the Swedish translation now. Yeah, it says the same thing.
You're doing much better with your English, honey.
Yes, I like listening to these Bible studies, John. Don't you? Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to learn English.
And a good way to learn about God.
I became ill with a virus infection and had to quit my job and stay home. Not long after that, we watched the same evangelist on television. He preached a sermon inviting people to give their lives to Christ. Then he looked straight at the TV camera and said, "If you are sitting in your living room or in a bar or wherever you may be, you can accept Jesus Christ where you are." Silently, I did.
That was a wonderful program, Ina. I prayed with them just now.
Yes, so did I.
I've never heard it explained so well, that we're all sinners, but God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins.
And all we have to do is repent,
yeah,
and ask him to forgive us. Mm. Oh, John, we were both saved at the same moment. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, Ina, that was powerful. Maybe that's what they mean by the Holy Spirit.
John, you know, we are spiritual twins. First God made me a physical twin, and then he made me a spiritual twin.
Let's send a tape to our families and tell them the good news.
When I woke up the next morning, I felt like the whole world was smiling at me. I was still very sick, though, and since the doctor couldn't cure my virus infection, he recommended a change in climate. So not long after that we accepted Christ, I went back to Sweden. My parents met me at the airport and had a great party waiting for me at home. I couldn't wait to talk with my Aunt Elvira about our salvation.
I know when you wrote to your family asking forgiveness for anything you might have done wrong in the past, I knew for sure you were born again.
Oh, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? I mean, he urges us to make peace with others.
Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And from love comes all the other good things of God. Joy and peace and kindness, patience.
I know. I've changed a lot since I turned my life over to God. The things I used to love, I don't care for anymore.
If you only knew how happy I am, how much I've prayed for you. One day you'll understand the great joy received when you have a part in another person's salvation.
Aunt Elvira, it was your prayers that kept me from getting involved with false religions. God used you to save me.
Have you found a good church yet?
Well, no, I wanted to go to church, but John wasn't sure which was the right one, so he wouldn't go at all, and I don't want to go alone. So we just listen to Christian radio on Sunday.
Find a good church that teaches from the Bible, Ina. You need to be in fellowship with other believers.
I will pray that the Lord will lead John and me to the right church for us.
Good. Now, how long are you staying in Sweden?
But I don't know. I have a virus infection, and I'm praying that God will heal me or show me how to get rid of it.
After several months in Sweden, my father took me to a sanitarium where a doctor studied x-rays of my lungs and told me I was free of the virus, free to go back to my husband in America. Oh, how we missed each other. John sent me the tickets, and after bad weather and several misconnections, I landed in Salt Lake City.
Welcome home, Ina.
Oh,
I missed you so much.
Oh, I know, John. I missed you too. But the virus is gone. I feel so good.
Ina, I was really glad you changed your mind and stayed an extra week.
Why?
The flight you were supposed to be on, it crashed. Many people were killed.
Oh, John, how terrible.
And I realized how close I came to losing you. It brought me back to my senses.
Oh, what do you mean?
I haven't been close to the Lord since you left, and I want to change that. We're going to find a good church. We're going to walk a lot closer to Jesus from now on.
The Lord led us to a wonderful church where we grew in knowledge, taught Sunday school, and served in outreach programs. But God had other plans for us.
After listening to the testimony your uncle sent, I feel very strongly that God wants me to go into ministry.
But have you talked with the pastor about this?
Yes. He thinks I should wait to be sure this is from the Lord.
Oh, it would be a big change in our lives.
I know, but you've never been afraid of change.
Oh, that's true. What an adventure it would be, reaching out to the lost.
I'd like to go back to Scandinavia and share the gospel everywhere.
Oh, that would be wonderful, John.
I'm glad you feel the way I do.
I can't believe how good the Lord is. He had plans for our lives that started way back when we were children, putting a desire in your heart to come to America.
And giving you the desire to solve mysteries, to help others. There's no better way to help someone than sharing the good news.
Not long after that, John walked to the altar in church and surrendered his life in full-time ministry. And I joined him. We moved to California, where he graduated from seminary. We did evangelistic crusades all over Scandinavia in a number of countries in Europe. Now John serves as a pastor in Sacramento. If you are listening to my testimony and do not know the Savior, don't let pride or fear keep you from coming to Jesus. I lost many precious years and went through a lot of heartache before I was saved. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 warns us, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Friend, if you would like to have that salvation provided by Christ, you're invited to pray with us right now. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, that I've lived my life without you. I've thought and said and done things I'm ashamed of, and I know the penalty is death. Lord, I believe Christ died to pay that penalty, and there's nothing I can add to what he's done. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. Forgive me for his sake, and cleanse me that I might be your child. Friend, if you prayed with us, the Bible says God accepts you and calls you as his own. Write and tell us so we can rejoice and send you some literature that will help you walk with God. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. This is program number 2466. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If life lets you down, call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.